Blog Talk Radio.
Close to say it's Thursday night, but it's not. It's Wednesday night, September 12th, and it's Social Geek Radio. And I'm Deb Evans, joined by AK Stout.
Hi. Yes, it's Wednesday night, week two of our Wednesday night, which I personally like the Wednesday night better, I have to say.
I do. It's still taking me time to get used to saying live on Wednesdays. And, you know, my calendar says it's Wednesdays. So, let's do a quick recap of our week, what we have going on or had going on this week. It seems like it just flew. So what were you busy doing socially all week long since we met?
Since we last met, I don't think I had anything particularly interesting happen, but I have a lot coming up.
Okay, what's coming up?
Yeah, coming up, I have on Friday, I'm very excited to return to, the college that I went to for one semester. I didn't graduate from college. I just went to another one after that. The college I went to for one semester, I'm talking at their senior success seminar about how to sort of be careful about what you post online because employers are looking and so forth. And then next Monday, I'm speaking during a session called Complain Like a Boss, which I'm supposed to be speaking about some of the review sites like Yelp and so forth. And I believe, though, it's on how to effectively complain online, not so much from the business perspective of managing the complaints, but how, as a consumer, you can use the channels to get what you want. And then right before our show next week, so I'm going to be really cutting it close, but I will be here for the show next week, but right before I'll be speaking at a new meetup group in here in Baltimore called Baltimore Lean Startup. So I'll be talking about using social media to attract customers for startup businesses. And I'm blogging. I need to blog. So I'm actually in the middle of writing two blog posts. I haven't finished either one. I just kept getting ideas for both. So I just started the draft for both. So this is the first time that I am blogging simultaneously on two different topics.
Oh, that's tough, multitasking. But you are the queen of multitasking. So it's very good.
So what are you up to?
Well, I'm part, we talked about street teams last week and hashtags, and I'm getting super, super excited about Earl Robinson's book, Fierce Loyalty, coming out on the 18th. There is a Fierce Loyalty Facebook page that everybody should go to and look at it, and she has a link to where she's going to Ustream live the book launch next week. So that's going to be exciting. I can't be there with her side by side bike on Ustream. So the whole building a fierce, loyal community with raving fans and clients and supporters, and she's just done such a great job with it that I'm really, really anxious to read her book. I just got a sneak copy today. I haven't opened it up yet, but I have my copy. So I'll read up on that, but that's going to be exciting. And you remember our good friend Ralph Couture with the Great Business Project?
Yes.
Wow. I love it. You know, I'm a raving fan of Ralph's and his digital magazine and his new book that he had out, Life After Corporate Life, and his podcast. But he accepted an article I wrote. It will be in the October issue of the Great Business Project magazine.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's go tandem with franchising. So it'll be a little interesting. So, tonight have some very special ladies with us tonight. The founders, two co-founders of Project Eve. Are we ready?
We're going
to introduce them. Are you ready? All right. Well, we're going to. We have Meredith Denz. She has 15 years working in investment banking. I'm sorry, but that's just not something I could ever do. So God bless Meredith for doing that. But here's, okay, I don't think you know this. She actually began her career with Spy Magazine and business development in Marvel Comics. That is just so cool. So she's got that creative talent that she brought into Project Eve that I can understand. And then Kim, the other co-founder and COO, spent 9 years researching, investing in hedge funds. Again, I'm sorry, that is just not, it's beyond me. But Kim also has a bachelor's and honors in political science. So she's very analytical and researching, investing in both the public and the private life. You are in San Francisco, and Meredith, you are calling us from New York. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
It's fun. So I love the title of our show tonight, Connecting Women in Business and this whole Project Eve. But why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and the organization?
Kim, do you want to?
You want
off?
Me? To, I'll start. Sure.
Yeah.
So Meredith and I we didn't start out being bicoastal. We actually are our best friends from back in the late 90s when we met in business school, and then we both ended up pursuing continuing on from business school and pursuing careers in investment banking and, as you mentioned, hedge fund investing. And various parts of financial services for a very long time, and looking back on it, sometimes I think maybe too long. But anyway, we were best friends through moves to Chicago and San Francisco and back to New York and whatnot, and we kept on talking, really on a daily basis, and as good friends do. And when it looked like maybe there should be something beyond investment banking, we started to talk about what that something might be, and that was, like a multi-year conversation. And at a certain point, it looked like maybe founding our own business, maybe entrepreneurship would be something that would, suit our needs in terms of, being challenging, but also giving us some flexibility about what we did and how we did it. But as we looked closer at that, and truth be told, when I went off to do it after my company shut down, I found it to be really, really hard. And there were some challenges that were pretty unexpected. And when I was thinking about packing it in, Meredith really sort of stepped in and said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why is this hard? And we started having conversations about what the unique challenges that entrepreneurs face, and more specifically that that female entrepreneurs face. And she said, we got to do something. We got to make this easier because this has the opportunity to be a great thing for us and for a lot of other women. But there should be a way to make it easier. And when we started doing research to find a solution to make things easier, which for us was a place where female entrepreneurs could come and talk and network and really do a lot of that online without having to go to a physical networking event or even talk to fellow entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs before you even have made the leap into entrepreneurship, we couldn't find that. We wanted a place that was interactive and where you could ask questions, get answers, get access to resources, get access to people who are in different fields. And we couldn't find that. So we built it. And last fall, we formed the company. And this spring, we launched ProjectEve.com. Did I get it in?
You know, I think one thing I think we really wanted to end was the isolation of starting a business. It's very isolating when you start a business and you really don't have anybody to turn to ask questions to. And even, you know, your best friends or your family, they're not going through the same types of experiences that you're going through. And you know, and your existing network that you may have developed from your previous career or maybe from college just doesn't have the depth and the expertise that you need to rely on to get some of the answers that you're looking for. So I think, you know, when we went out and we searched high and wide, we found that a lot of the resources out there were regionally focused and industry specific. Kim and I have a very deep network in financial services, unfortunately or fortunately. But, you know, when you're starting a business, you really need more than just one aspect. It's think of it as like a wheel, and you need all the spokes in the wheel to make it run. And, you know, I think for women in particular, because of gender bias and what's going on in terms of family responsibilities, and you know, it's very difficult for them to get out and network in the same way that men do. They have child care responsibilities, they have elder care responsibilities, and you know, maybe like me, they just want to go to yoga at night. They don't really want to go out drinking or, you know, beer over a sporting event. But and I think it's difficult for them to network, and definitely it's difficult for them to network the same way men do. So when we kind of looked around and we saw some of the isolation, some of the frustration, some of the difficulties in forming this depth of a network, that's when we said, okay, you know what, if we're having a very hard time, maybe some other people are as well, and there may be a need for this type of resource out there.
So Project Eve, we can give the website projecteve.com, right?
Right.
So does that particular network, are you targeting any one kind of woman, any one kind of, are you specifically looking for a particular female entrepreneur?
No, not at all. We consider ourselves to be a big tent, and we really think that there are enough aspects of starting and growing a business that are common no matter what kind of business you are, whether you're high tech or just trying to start a lifestyle business on Etsy. You know, you will still struggle with many of the same issues and worry about paying sales tax and if you should incorporate and what kind of style company you should be.
MailChimp versus Constant Contact. I mean, there's so many, when you're starting a business, there's so many kind of shared questions that overlap. I'm sorry, Kim, go ahead.
No, that's exactly what I was trying to say. And you know, and your business evolves over time, and your life and the amount of time that you can devote to it evolves over time too. And we always like to say that, you know, the bakery, that woman, she could be, you know, tomorrow's Debbie Fields. So, you know, you never know. You know, who is going to be the next big founder. And in the early stage and when you're trying to grow a business, a lot of the experiences are the same. And there's enough questions and content and whatnot. If, you know, one conversation isn't right for you, you know, the next one probably will. And, you know, everyone needs to be inspired and lifted up once in a while, no matter whether you're you know, you're high tech or whether you have, I don't know, a catering company.
Yeah, you know, and I think Kim really nailed it when she said there's so many resources out there for women in tech, high growth. And what we found is there's not a whole lot of resources out there that are for women who are still trying to figure out what they want to do business-wise. And there's a whole lot of pivoting that goes into a business before you can label yourself or put all sorts of labels on what you are. And you know, there's a lot of evolution in developing a business, and so it's difficult when you're trying to get resources and people put a label saying, okay, well, you can only join if you're, you know, high tech. Well, I don't know. We have a technological aspect to it, you know, what we're doing, but I don't know. So if people would say that we're high tech. And so I think in a way we're very big tent because you know there's so many questions that these women have that are similar and everybody needs help and everybody needs resources.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to make sure that people who are, you know, still sort of existing in a cube or, you know, sitting, like, at the starting block don't feel like they're welcome, too. Because, you know, we thought about entrepreneurship for a long time. And, you know, one of the things that you think about some of the existing organizations that there are these membership fees, or you feel like if you go to a networking event you have to walk in and say, yes, my business is X, Y, and Z, and here's my business card. Well, you know, you can be thinking and having a bunch of different ideas and need people to sort through them and bounce ideas off of for quite a while before you're ready to do that. And I think that for a lot of people, it's really intimidating. We wanted to create a place where the aspiring entrepreneur can be, you know, involved in a conversation with, you know, someone who already has, you know,
it's think of it as like crowdsourcing knowledge. So, you know, I may be very good and I used to structure exotic debt, but that and a bag of chips will get you a bag of chips when I'm trying to design a website. So, you know, I personally would like to read about, okay, well, which platforms, which hosting platforms are helpful. And that's not my area of expertise. And so, but if I throw the question out there on our help and eval platform, maybe I'll get 20, 30 people chiming in on, you know, what is a good hosting platform. And from there, I can kind of read through the answers and take some with a grain of salt and everybody collaborating together and crowdsourcing an answer, I can kind of at least be steered in a general direction to do my own research. And so there's incentive to both answer a question as well as ask a question because you don't feel like you're so needy. Yeah.
Right, right. And so we know that there's a lot of networks out there, and anybody that's starting business is searching and seeking or to belong to, whether it's a local chamber meeting, social media club, or whatever. How did you, since you were actually starting Zen Network in this community, how did you start promoting and finding your members to build that following? And how many followers and members do you actually have today after just a few months?
Well, we launched the platform in May with the website, and we, to be really truthful, we weren't really all that familiar with social media prior to launch. So we had heard a little bit about Twitter, and obviously we were on Facebook for our personal accounts, but prior to launch, we started reading considerably about the power of social media in particular. You know, truthfully, Twitter's free, and it's a wonderful way to establish a brand and establish a voice for the brand. And we started on Twitter, and we established what we considered to be a trusted voice of the brand of Project Eve, and built some integrity online on that platform. And so now we have, if I look right now, probably about 34,000 followers on Twitter. And we did the same thing with our Facebook page and that platform as well. And we have, I think we're touching 18,000 Facebook fans as well. We have about 15,000 unique visitors to the site monthly, or we did last month, and we're growing exponentially, and we are close to 2,800 members on the site. I think we have really grown through word of mouth and through establishing this voice of Project Eve of come collaborate, share, communicate, but leave your sharp elbows at home. We're really about lifting each other up as opposed to knocking each other down. And, you know, we're consistent in our message.
And just to add one thing, and we've gotten really lucky with a couple great supporters and boosters who have and influencers who've helped spread the word and tell people about Project Eve too, which is we can't even begin to express our gratitude to those people that helped to
I mean, the people that helped us, and we had like 100 members, like when we had launched,
right,
like 2 days, and I was like, you know, you launch the site and you're like, if you build it, they'll come, and then all of a sudden you launch it and you're like, well, it's Kim and I, and then we got our husbands to join, and then,
right,
you know.
And our parents.
Our dads joined. Our moms are like,
right,
wow, this is a little complicated. You
yeah.
know, and you know, you really look around and you're like, okay, well, you can't get your friend. Our closest friends are not members, and we're okay with that. You know, our closest friends aren't really interested in becoming entrepreneurs right now, but just because they're not doesn't mean they're not our friends. So, but, you know, it really is a community of like-minded women going through a shared experience. And
I know you did have those brand ambassadors or super fans. I was talking to Gene with Charity Miles yesterday, and he was them super fans. And you had a few that actually had touched base with me, Jenny Dietrich or Deb Dobson. You know, we find out that we've got similar connections on social media. And once you get a few posts, I would assume, that spread the word, and they tell their friends and their friends, and then you're on social media radio, and it really does.
I mean, Deb Dobson has been, and both Deb Dobson and Jenny Dietrich have been instrumental to helping us spread the word. Deb Dobson is, I mean, she has gone above and beyond anything that we could expect of any possible mentor. So we're incredibly thankful for not only helping spread the word, but her time, her confidence, her mentorship towards us.
Her generosity in terms of making introductions and checking in and helping us out along the way, it's been fantastic. And
we've never met Deb face to face. I mean, that's the most amazing thing. You know, she's
right.
in Ohio, like, you know, I'm in New York, Kim's in San Francisco. We met her on
mm-hmm.
Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing connection right there. We've never met Ginny face to face. We
right.
met her on Twitter.
Right.
You know, so it's unbelievable. It's really a very powerful tool.
Right. And I will also say that, you know, in the, you know, over 15 years I spent in financial services, I don't think anyone has done me those kind of professional favors or, you know, When you say I'm a banker, no one says, okay, how can I help you? But when you say, you know, we're running a business to help, you know, women open businesses and grow their businesses and support female entrepreneurship, there's so many people that have been so generous with their, like yourself, saying, you know, hey, you know, what can we do? Let's talk about it. And it's just been the most incredible part of this experience, I think, for both of us.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question. I know I've been quiet, but I've been listening and tweeting and very interested in all of this. But my question, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably wondering, is just simply, do you have charge for membership onto your site?
No. That was part of, I think that was part of our, joining Project Eve is 100% free. Part of the big issue that Kim and I had is during our time of trying to figure out what we were going to do with our life as we were sitting in investment banking, otherwise known as the soul-crushing career that Kim and I had for the previous 15 years, we think we want to be entrepreneurs. We don't really know, but any time we open up a site, it's $250 to join or go to a networking event. And I, at that point, didn't even, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, I, Kim and I both felt like, you know, I think before people start to move in one direction or another, they just need some answers, and they need to access resources.
Right, and the inertia in starting a business can just be so profound. You know, there's no one is giving you a deadline. No, you know, there's no boss asking for, you know, a report on your progress by Friday. So, you know, if someone says, okay, well, you have to actually, you know, go to this networking event to get something going, well, that's really intimidating, especially if you're not sure that you're ready to even talk about your idea. And if somebody else says, okay, well, you can join, but what's the name of your business? And, oh, can you give us your credit card for a membership fee? You're like, I don't have a name for my business yet. I'm not even sure if I'm going to do it. And we wanted to take all of that away so that, you know, you can come home from a frustrating day at work and feel like, okay, now I can work on my idea.
There's a whole lot of work on an idea before it becomes a business. I mean, even Project Eve first started out, when we first started discussing it, it was originally going to be an incubator. And we were like, okay, well, maybe we don't want to do that physical real estate space for women because, A, you're in San Francisco, I'm in New York, this is complicated. You know, but we played around with a lot of different iterations of Project Eve before Project Eve became what it is, and we're still iterating, we're still changing and adapting and trying to figure out exactly the best way to get at this problem. And I think the idea that you would have to write something down and hand out a business card and go and sell yourself before you don't even know who you are to sell or what you're selling, and then you're going to have to pay for it, that was very unappealing to us. Like, we're more in the, I'm sitting in my yoga pants, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing, through, like, okay, we're trying to get it together, and then when we get it together, we'll eventually get out and start selling ourselves. But there's a whole lot of pre-selling questions, so that should be free.
I like that answer.
And sometimes, even if you have your business up and running, you're so busy that actually tearing yourself away from the computer or whatever your business is, you know, really limits your ability to get on a plane and go to a conference or even go to, you know, an event that's down the road. And so this way, you know, our hope is that you can ask a question and make connections before you go to the event, to make the events more
productive.
I mean, and productive. And then also, if you can't make it, then maybe you find a connection and a resource and a web developer or someone who can point you in the right direction, just on the site.
Yeah, I think there's a huge cost barrier when you're trying to start something, and Kim kind of nailed it. I mean, getting on a plane, going to all these events is very expensive. So, you know, you're trying to get your website up, and you have to choose different things to spend your money on. And so, you know, the asking of the questions, that's got to be free.
So I have I'm on the site, and I'm a member. I see my name right there. And we talked about this last week. I see who's actually online, so I can use it similar to Facebook and talk to Kim or Laura, right now, who's also in our chat room. If as a member of Project Eve, and I'm needing assistance, how do I go about getting my request, I guess, helping Eve out? And I've seen you tweet those things as well, you know, helping Eve out, she needs help with a newsletter or looking for the last one was, you know, looking for office share in Brooklyn. And I know I helped send that out to some of my New York friends. How does that take place? What's the process there?
It's really pretty straightforward. You go into under the tab labeled Help an Eve Out, and there's a little button that in the upper right hand corner that says Add, and you type in your question, and it gets submitted.
It looks like
and then go ahead.
I would just say
this is one of the benefits of membership. So the other thing that Kim and I discussed pretty actively is how much should non-members be able to see versus members. And so non-members are able to peruse and look through featured discussions and general discussions, all the different discussions that are listed under Help and Eve Out. But in order to contribute, in order to ask a question or reply, you have to be a member. And membership is the great complex task of typing in your email and your name and pushing enter.
Okay.
So it's, even though there may be many questions, the only thing you really need to do is type in your email and your name, and then you're off to the races. But once you are a member, then you click on that plus sign button,
right.
The add button, and you're set, and then we tend to
approve.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do moderate those. Because that was my real question. I see where I can post that, just like I would a blog reply. And that's good. I mean, because with that many members that you have, I personally would like to see that you're moderating and making sure that this is a legit request that someone needs, so you're moderating it. So then my second question is going to be, how can the two of you moderate with membership that size? That's hard. That's a lot of time work there.
You know, we can moderate the questions
and the blog.
Observe and the blogs. We don't necessarily, we're not intimately involved in all the replies. So if they're, we rely on our members to give us a heads up and say, there's something weird going on and flag it for us. But I did turn, I think, a couple months into, for a while, I don't think we had as much, we hadn't tightened up how blogs were approved. And at a certain point, I turned to Meredith and I said, we've hit the big time. We've got a spam attack going on, and people were trying to post some crazy stuff about Louis Vuitton.
So. Right, Louis Vuitton. You know, buy Louis Vuitton. You really need to buy it now. And, you know, so and stuff that's overly self-promotional, there's, you know, there's spammers, and then there's also people who don't get the, don't yet understand the community, haven't been there long enough, and see this as a self-promotional tool as opposed to a community tool. You know, I think with a little gentle guidance, we tend to send an email saying, you know, it's great that you are doing your business, and that's fantastic. But the, you know, this site isn't only about, you know, selling your stuff to other Eves. It's really about, you know, this collective resource. So, you know, if there's a way that you can, you know, share your experience, and then also mention your business, by all means do that. But, you know, the hardcore self-promotional stuff doesn't really fly on the site, and you could see that in the help and Eve out. Nobody responds to it. So
right, people will just something that says, hi, I'm running a special deal on X, Y, and Z, and it just doesn't get a lot of traction. And you know, similarly, no one wants to read a whole blog that's really an advertisement. But
right,
if you want to talk to how, you know, you started off as a teacher and eventually ended up as a graphics designer, you know, people want to be inspired, and they're interested in the choices and challenges that people face. Or if someone wants to say, hey, I used to hate to sell, and this is how I finally figured out how to crack that code, and, you know, let me tell you how I did it. People, you know, are thrilled to get advice. So
you know,
and they want to be helpful.
You know, and it's also interesting. It's you know, right now the sponsor content is such a is so heavily discussed. And how do you, you know, one of the things that we do is we do offer sponsored content where we have third parties help position you or your brand to our membership. How do you develop brand loyalty? How do you develop integrity for your brand? And it's more of a holistic approach to positioning you to the market as opposed to buy my stuff now. And that has never really worked for me. Whereas if there's a backstory, we had a wonderful woman who runs a fair trade design jewelry company, and her products are truly extraordinary, and they are just beautiful. And you know, she didn't really know how to position herself, and the story was beautiful, the product was beautiful, and all she needed was really a storyteller to get her message across to the right audience.
That's true connecting.
And she started
networking out.
I think and she started out in the forum asking the community about
her website and asked
for feedback.
And she was like, "Hi, what do you think about my website?" And people, how many people gave feedback? Like 40, 50 people.
A lot. Yeah.
And maybe 60 people gave feedback, and they're like, you know, we think this is a little too busy. So then she redesigned her whole website, streamlined it. We did a sponsored piece on her where we interviewed her with the backstory, launched her redesigned website, tweeted about it, put it on Facebook, and she sold jewelry. I mean, it was like the you know, it was all good. You know, and then some of the money went back to Fair Trade Design, to the women in, where were they? Who make the jewelry. I mean, it was
from
like
all over the world, but you know, everything is fairly traded. And you know, it ultimately helps to support the women who run these cottage industries in these third world countries, which
we're not all that, 100% only for fair trade or altruist. But it's really sometimes it's just getting a message across that in a way or and whether it's
reaching a new audience
or not. Yeah, it's reaching a new audience.
So now, is that where the whole help the Eve out came about?
So helping Eve out came about, we in the very early, I think our first helping Eve out came from one of our early members who said, hey, you know, I am a writer. And she was, you know, she was an excellent writer. She was a syndicated writer and national publications. And she literally just put herself out there and was like, I have been trying to do a website for I don't even know how long, and I am completely confused about what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, she goes, I wish I could find the exact helping Eve out.
Right. It used to just be, you know, labeled forum.
It used to be labeled, but then I read her post.
Right.
It really was like forum, and then because we had had a conversation with her, and we're like, this is what we envision to happen. This is what we kind of hope will happen. And
she put her question in, and I think she got maybe a little bit of traction, and then Meredith, I think, sent out an email to our, you know, it was a tiny community at that point, maybe a few hundred people, and the title of the email was Helping Eve Out, and it had her question, and all of a sudden she was getting answers from all these, you know,
from Australia, I mean,
bloggers,
from all over the
Australia,
world,
from all over the world, saying, you know, here's how you do a WordPress site. Here's how you select a WordPress theme. Here are some free things you can do. And it was within the first month, and we renamed the forum Helping Eve Out because it was exactly what we had hoped would happen, where people would step in and help one another out.
She wrote, talk to me about creating a website. And she wrote, I really need to have my own website. In fact, I really should have done this a few years ago, but I keep getting stuck. I have a domain name and hosting service. I have the text written, but I keep getting stuck. Every time I sit down to work on it, I come up with another pressing project I need to do because I'm dreading it so much. And she wrote, I just need a simple but attractive writer's website. I need advice. I'm technically challenged. And so far, there have been 335 views to this. The first woman to reply has a PhD from Stanford. Okay. It's unbelievable the number of people who have stepped up to help. And it's not even about, you know, people saying, okay, hire me, pick me. Although you really can display your credibility, it's a great way to show your expertise and credibility by replying to messages like this. But it's unbelievable the number of people who checked in and said, hi, I use this. It's easy to use. I'm not technical. Tweebly. I don't even know what that is. So I'm obviously not technical. So,
well, I think AK and I are on overload, and we're just sitting here looking at your, and we're both sitting here looking at your site and looking at all the services and the opportunities that people have as members or non-members, and can't imagine going to the site and not just saying, here's my email, I'd like to be a member. I know that I want to become more active and be a more active member. I was at first when you guys got in, and then kind of got behind, but you, there's a lot here. There's a lot of brain power, and I'm noticing they're not all women.
No.
Your members.
No. It's very interesting. Actually, we have a contributing editor, Cayman Jones, who runs Genius Startups, and his He specialized in helping small startups and solopreneurs build successful online profitable businesses. But he has done a whole lot of different things of making websites for other people, and you know, his articles are spectacular, and he's an excellent contributor to the site. I think the reason why we have a women's network is because women like to ask a lot of questions, and so if you're okay with that, we welcome you to join us. Just the way we discuss things is typically by asking a lot of questions. Kim and I worked in a male-dominated field for you know, a tremendous number of years. And, you know, I think my favorite question is at the end of any discussion, I always say, okay, well, what am I asking what am I not asking that I should be asking? You know, that's not something that you typically hear a guy say. Like, I'm sure there's something I'm missing. What am I not getting? Like I know I'm missing something. What do I don't know? And so, you know, I think as long as you understand that that's going to be kind of the tone of conversation, of the conversations on site, we welcome anyone to be a member.
Great. Well, I'm looking at the clock in the chat room, and it's about time that we need to share all of your links, so that people know how to connect with you on LinkedIn or help them meet out your Facebook. So why don't you give those to us, please, and your Twitter handles?
Well, the site is www.projecteve.com. Our Twitter handle is @projecteve1. That's our main Twitter handle. And our Facebook page is
facebook.com/projecteve1.
Thanks.
Smart girls.
Thanks.
Good.
That's
good.
Why it's nice.
And
to
what
have
I'll
a partner.
Do tonight, the Facebook page is great, and the site is wonderful, and you guys have given us so much information. I know I saw just a flurry of tweets flying around tonight, so I'll put that in a Storify story so that anybody that wants to go back and just recap, they can certainly listen to the audio again or recap the tweets. You'll find that on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page. So, ladies, thank you so, so much.
Can we just say one more thing? Our ultimate tagline that we've mm-hmm. always said is, it's not about breaking through the glass ceiling. It's about building your own house. So if you're even thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, and you know, just try, or even thinking about taking the leap, come and join us. We are an open, friendly, supportive community of like-minded people. Who are all going through the same thing. So please come join us.
Yeah, that's a great tagline. I do like that. Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. And Meredith, I will see you in New York, I think,
absolutely.
In October. Kim, absolutely. I will try to do my best to meet you in person, because we do, you know, we have all these connections online. We've got to meet in person.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Someday we'll all, you know, tweet up in person.
Yeah, we'll tweet up in person. So hold on, or you guys can scoop, but we're going to go ahead and bring AK back for Geek It Out.
It's a very geeky show. The time you listen to is mother. Social geek.
Okay. Hi, what do you have? You got a recap and a favorite and all kinds of fun stuff, don't you?
Okay, yeah. Well, just a real quick little blurb. I guess a case study, if you will. I don't know if that's what you want to call it, but something that happened to me. I went to Panera to have a meeting. So I'm sitting at the table, and I check in on Foursquare, of course, and I write a little message, and I say, quick meeting before the Ravens game, and I send it to Twitter also. And I also have this app hooked up to my phone that whenever I check in a place that this app deems unhealthy, it sends me a tweet, and it says, you know, basically, shame on you. You lost 2 points. Try going to the gym after this or something. So that I expect that. But then about a minute after that tweet came through, I got a tweet from the Twitter account called Panera Bread Table, and it's at Bread Table. And ironically enough, the picture, the avatar that they have for it is the circular Panera table, which happened to be the exact same table that I was sitting at. So I'm kind of freaked out and looking around like, Panera, God, are you, like, stalking? I'm looking under the table, like, this is really creepy. And it says, don't listen to the fitness haters. Coming to Panera is always a good idea. Enjoy your visit. And I thought that was so cool. Not only did they see my tweet, but they saw the tweet to me, you know, talking. It didn't even mention Panera in that other tweet. But they saw the tweet to me where I got negative points, and they're talking to me. So it was cool. It wasn't like the main Panera account. It was just their bread table. The Panera bread table was like, hey, thanks for sitting at me, the table. So they were definitely monitoring their tweets. And I think it's really cool if you go to that Twitter account. They're following one person, and they have 10 followers. So they're not using that account, obviously, as their main Panera account. They don't seem to really even care about getting followers or anything like that. They're simply using it as that conversation tool. So I thought that was a really neat approach.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I think, though, I would have been so freaked out. I think I would have my purse.
Yeah, well, that's like if I had been at the air tables, I would have been like, okay, you know, I get it. But it's the exact same circular table. I was like, okay, well, something's going on here. But no, effective Twitter marketing. So that's the story.
Funny.
So
that's
then
very
our
cool.
Yeah, so then our app for the week, our new part of Geek It Out, where we have an app for the week. And this one is available for iTunes and Android. The website that you go to is onwatchoncampus.com. And I'll put it in the room here, onwatchoncampus.com. And let me go back to it here. So it's a safety app for college students. So it's the quote on here, it says, one in five young women will be sexually assaulted in college. And from what I've gathered from it, you sort of, in two taps, you can send out your GPS location and send a message to 911 or friends or campus police or something like that if you're in danger. So it's won a whole bunch of awards. It was featured, it's the winner of the U.S. Government's Apps Against Abuse Challenge. So I'm hoping that we can, as a social geek group, spread the word to any women that we know, and college women, sororities, all sorts of things, to get them to know about and use this very cool app.
It is very cool. I'm definitely going to do my share of my part of sharing it.
Cool. All right. Good. Well, then our Geek It Out for tonight is actually all very Twitter-oriented, to go along with my Twitter case study. The first one, and you can actually try it out with our Social Geek Radio hashtag, is called hashtracking.com. And it's right now in beta. I believe there's going to be a paid version.
That doesn't like me, AK.
I know, but it's going to work right now.
Okay.
Hashtracking.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you can get a free report. It says try it out now. If you enter the hashtag SocialGeekRadio, you'll be able to see the stats for the past 24 hours for that hashtag. So this might be good to use for events and conferences and, you know, anything revolving around a hashtag.
And let's see if we can blow this up, since we had so many tweets going tonight. I'm looking through the reports, and I'm not there. It does not line.
Well, at least
that's
you can
okay.
see the report this time, though, right?
I can see the report this time, yes.
I have,
and
it's
I,
so weird that it doesn't pull you up. I don't
know
why.
The only thing I can think of is because of how I'm tweeting tonight, which is technically, we'll tell everybody, you're helping me out by tweeting. So
yeah.
I think there's a quirk in that it's coming just because from one account, making
yeah,
sense.
Maybe.
I think that has to be it. So we'll try it one night when I'm actually tweeting and you're tweeting, and we'll see if I.
Yeah.
But it looks like a really. You're right. It looks like a great report for conferences.
Yeah. So we've had 53 tweets generating, which is probably just the past little while. I think that's where we get the most. So probably just in the past 2 hours, maybe 53 tweets, and 548,000 impressions, etc. So.
Yeah. Very good.
Tweet us. Social Geek Radio hashtag. Go. Okay. All right. Now, the next one is sort of a follow-up to one I did last week. Last week, I talked about connecttweet.com, where you can, via a hashtag, use multiple personal Twitter accounts to sort of be tweeting through one central account. However, I hooked that up before the show last week, and I thought maybe it took a little while to kick in, and it never did kick in. So I want to apologize for recommending that site, and they scrap it. But I have a replacement site for you that I have been using all week, and Deb can vouch for me that it has been working because we've been doing it together. but this one is grouptweet.com, and it's the exact same premise. You hook up a Twitter account. You say who the contributors to that account can be. You authorize their Twitter account, you put in the hashtag that you want to use, or you can do it via an at mention or a direct message, and it enables a whole bunch of people to be contributing to one Twitter account. So grouptweet.com, let me stick this in the chat room, is your substitute for the one I shared last week. All right, the next and last one that I have for you this evening is called Tweet Effect, tweeteeffect.com. Let me throw that in the chat room. And Tweet Effect, you put in your Twitter ID, and you click the button that says, tell me about my effect. And it gives you information on the number of people who have stopped following you, and it tells you how many new followers you got over the course of your last so many updates. So it tells me in my last 182 updates, I lost followers 10 times. This is how many followers I gained. But the really, really cool thing is below that, it actually shows you your last however many tweets. I feel like I'm looking at, probably 50 tweets on here. And it tells me how many followers I had at the time of that tweet and how many followers I either lost or gained very shortly after that tweet went out. So it helps you look at it and decide, maybe I should tweet more about that because I get followers when I tweet about that, or maybe I should not talk about that anymore because I'm losing a lot of followers. So I love how it breaks it down per tweet for you like that.
It's very colorful. Green, red, or pink. Pink, I guess it is. Oh, mention Ramon de Leon, and I pick up a lot of followers.
Yeah, apparently when I mentioned Anderson Cooper, I lost 2 followers. So I don't know what that's about.
Oh.
Sorry, Anderson. Because I know he's listening to our
good.
Show.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very good. AK, our guest next week?
Our guest next week is going to be Matt Goddard, I believe he's the CEO of a digital company here in Baltimore called R2 Integrated. So they're going to be talking about some really cool stuff that they're doing with social media and technology.
Good. And we want to remind everybody to go to our Facebook page. It's just our Facebook.com, Social Geek Radio, and conversation there. And thank you, ladies. I know you're both still on the line from San Francisco and New York. Meredith and Kim, it was lovely having you so much and for all that you do with Project Eve. And thanks to everybody that's in the chat. And we'll we will geek it out later.
Yep. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Good, thank you.
Don't show me.